opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. It's a Wednesday afternoon. It is a very busy day for Black Talk Radio Network in terms of live programming. Hope you'll keep it locked all day here on the station as we have plenty of programs for you every Wednesday. We do hope to bring more live programming to you during the week, and we have some things going on behind the scenes to facilitate that. Today's date is September 27, 2017. I hope that you all are having a blessed day. Let's keep in mind that there are plenty of people suffering all over the world, especially as a result of all this inclement weather that we've been having. So, you know, I looked out my window today. I was like, oh, it's such a beautiful sunny day outside. And then I started thinking about those people in Puerto Rico, people in Houston, Florida, all those areas that have been impacted by inclement weather, all these various superstorms, I guess you could call them. I'm not a scientist, but I do know that they've been saying that these are like 100-year storms or something, you know, the biggest storm ever. And I don't think I've ever seen a hurricane season so active. I just never seen this much destruction. And hurricane season isn't over for another couple of months, I believe. And so, you know, it's now is the time to get prepared. Always keep preparedness on your mind because you never know what's going to happen. But especially if you live in areas that are prone to getting hit by inclement weather, you definitely should be preparing so that you can be in a better position to survive the storms and the outcomes. So, yeah, definitely we got a lot of stories to share with you today. We don't have any guests, so basically we'll have open lines if anybody wants to call in and share anything. They can do so.
This call is being recorded.
By giving us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Just hit star to put yourself in the caller's queue, and I'll come to you as soon as I notice you on the board. So lots of stories to talk about. Two of the main stories that I want to bring to you. You had the Drug Enforcement Agency chief, that's the DEA chief, who resigned after criticizing Donald Trump's remarks on police conduct. And I was just minutes before the program, I was thinking about Robert Mueller's investigation. You know, they're going after Trump, trying to prove or find if he colluded with some Russians. And we've been seeing news articles come out talking about Russians purchase ads on Facebook. I even seen an article that was taking a look at Russian Americans. These are American citizens with a Russian heritage, but they're American citizens. And I remember, well, why all of a sudden they want to scrutinize Russian Americans, but there seems to be no concern about these Israeli Americans influencing elections through AIPAC. I mean, this is just blatant hypocrisy. But this DEA chief resigning, again, lends to my notion that you can impeach Trump or investigate him, charge him with crimes. I don't think that the president has straight up immunity to where he can just be a blatant lawbreaker and suffer no repercussions, and that he should be investigated for that. Again, I've been talking about the NFL protests. Now you got, you know, I mentioned Donald Trump saying they should be fired. That's against the law. That's against federal law, that the members of the executive branch are not. It's against the law for them to try to influence private employers on whether to hire somebody or to fire somebody. This is longstanding federal law. And this man is a habitual lawbreaker, and he tells other people to break the law. And that's why that DEA chief is resigning, and we'll get more into that in just a bit. The other story that I think we should also be focusing on, and I don't have an answer to this because I'm not out there in the world like I used to be when I was a young person, so, you know, I really can't explain, but the CDC says that STD cases have hit a record high in the United States. Again, this is a record high of STD cases. Do you know what STDs are? They are sexually transmitted diseases, and they have hit a record high in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control. And as I suspected, it was no surprise to me, the largest increase in sexually transmitted diseases is in the LGBT alphabet community. And primarily, it mentioned homosexual and bisexual men are the reason that we have hit a record high in sexually transmitted diseases in the United States. I mean, you would think after the whole HIV AIDS scare and all of that, that people would be more careful, that people would protect themselves. I mean, you can go to a neighborhood clinic if you got a public clinic in your city or town, wherever you live. You can go there and if you're man or woman and get contraceptives for free. You can go to one of those public health clinics and get a bag full of rubbers or prophylactics or whatever the proper term for. But you can get a whole bag full of rubbers for free. Why is sexually transmitted diseases hitting record highs in the United States? I cannot explain it, but we will definitely take a look at that case. All right. Or this story. There's another story that came out from Slate magazine, says politics is sports, or politics in sports is as American as racism. And it is. And, you know, right now, a big news story here in the Charlotte area. I don't live in Charlotte, just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. But they have two professional sports teams. The football team is the Carolina Panthers, and Jerry Richardson, who is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, has been confronted by players on his team, saying that he put pressure on them that they might lose their jobs if they participated in the Sunday protest. And only one player had balls enough to participate in the protest, and that was Julius Peppers, one of the all-time great Carolina Panthers. And the other ones, you know, they just stood there. As usual, as they were told, and that didn't sit too well with them. And they had a meeting of the captains and, you know, took it to the coach, who said some ridiculous stuff about, well, what you do is you stand there at attention and you imagine what a world of justice would look like. Now, Ron Rivera is a Puerto Rican. He's from Puerto Rico. I think he was born on a military base or something. He comes from a military family. Not that that means anything. Hell, I come from a military family. I mean, there's lots of veterans in my family. So, but not that that means anything, but that's ridiculous coming from him. I imagine what would he say if somebody said, okay, Puerto Rico is not getting the help that it needs from the Trump administration. And Ron, if you want to see Puerto Rico help, just close your eyes and imagine them getting some help. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And I'm glad I've been participating in the NFL boycott. All right, so definitely want to take a look at that. And it also reminds me of the interview we did the other day with the former NFL player, whose name is escaping me right now. I don't know why, but his name is escaping me right now. And where he protested when he was a member of the Boston Patriots back in the 60s, because black players were put in substandard housing apart from white players. And it's not that they want to be in the same hotel with the white players, but they didn't want to be in a roach infested hotel. And so they organized a protest, and he got cut as a result. So that's a big story with the Carolina Panthers right now locally, as I was tuning in to some of the local sports talk radio this morning, as I knew it would be a big story. All right. Also, here's a very troubling story out of Florida. A mother is upset that a man who punched her 12-year-old child, knocked out his teeth, busted his lip, that he needed stitches. And this man was not arrested. And not only was he not arrested, the deputies in Charlotte County, Florida, who investigated, said that, oh, it was too many conflicting statements and that we're not going to arrest him. But the investigating deputy wants to arrest the 12-year-old child who got punched in the mouth, teeth knocked out by a 27-year-old suspected white supremacist. Who was using racial slurs towards a group of children playing in the road. So we'll look at some of the details. As I stated in a BTR news brief that I create every Wednesday for Tanya Free and Friends, if that family wants justice, it looks like they may have to get it for themselves. I wish anybody would put their hands on one of my children like that. The police arresting him would be the least of his worries. And I'm serious about that. Yes, I would go through the motions and call the police and all that good stuff. And if they act like these people, oh, he wouldn't have to worry about it. I wouldn't do nothing right away. But if he stayed there any length of time, oh, I'd definitely be coming. Or I would get some people to go after him. This is unacceptable to me. Very unacceptable. Also, there's another case coming out of Georgia where there was a man who was on death row for murdering his sister-in-law. And I don't think there's any doubt that he did it. But the case, his execution was halted, and I am not down for capital murder except for white supremacists. Yeah, put all them to death. But I'm really not for capital punishment because they get it wrong so often. All these innocent people, and we've had a number of innocent people released from death row. Now, this guy don't appear to be innocent. Not that that really makes a difference, but you had two black jurors, and they all voted guilty and also to sentence this man to death. But here's the problem, and it points out something that I brought up over a year ago about there being a need to screen jurors for racial and other biases, as you had one of the jurors who was actually in there telling people that I'm not even sure black people got souls according to the Bible. Yeah. And so this came out, and the Supreme Court has halted the execution of this man. Not saying he's not guilty. It appears he is guilty of murdering his sister-in-law in a cracked out rage and what have you. But that still makes no excuse for the system continuing not to put things in place, mechanisms in place to screen these people off the jury. To me, that was a cause for a new trial right there. Even though all the evidence said he was guilty. But because of he did not apparently, get a fair trial when you got people who was intent on voting guilty simply because he was black, that poses a problem. See, this is how justice is thwarted. So one look at that. Saudi Arabia has allowed women to drive. That's another story that has come out over the past 24 to 48 hours. It caught my eye because I was stationed in Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War, and I noticed the mistreatment of women in that country. Had some very interesting experiences there, but I knew that they could not drive, and they actually did a protest while we were in country. This again was during the Gulf War, and where a bunch of women drove anyway. I guess they thought the Americans was going to be there to stand up for their rights. Sorry, they weren't. We were sent over there to get involved in a dispute between Kuwait and Iraq, which I felt like Saddam Hussein had a legitimate complaint against the made-up country of Kuwait with his puppet leader. So this caught my eye. Women in Saudi Arabia have finally been allowed to drive. But guess what? They still being mistreated. They most certainly are. So definitely want to look at that in terms of human rights worldwide, because Saudi Arabia is a big violator of human rights. But, you know, they didn't stop Hillary Clinton, who pretends like she's for women and equal treatment under the and all that good stuff. And she's a liar. It didn't stop her from taking all that gold jewelry from the king of Saudi Arabia and Donald Trump as well. So when these people are nothing but hypocrites. I don't know if y'all saw this story, but we'll take a listen to this report from RT. This is crazy. You got a couple, a man and a woman, man and wife, who have been arrested for killing 30 people. That's not the most heinous part of it. They ate them. They ate these people. These were cannibals. 30 people. And they were living on the grounds of a military installation when they was killing these people and serving them up in meat pies. And man, that's just crazy, man. Crazy. So those are some of the news stories that we'll take a look at today. If you have any stories you like to share, you can do that one or two ways. You can share it with us in our conference line at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, or you can give us a call at 1-866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. And we're going to kick it off with some music, as this is your afternoon music news and commentary. So we're going to kick it off with some Wrath of the CI Fool. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. We got some troubling news that's being shared with us in our chat room. Again, that's at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Very troubling story that is coming out of Georgia, and it's involving the Stevens County school system. This has been shared with us by CMCP. He says, he writes in the chat room that in the Stevens County school system, which is in, I think that's Toccoa, Georgia. Toccoa, Georgia, said a 10th grade student made a threat to shoot up the school on Friday at a pep rally. The school just sent him home for the day. On Monday, on September 25th, he allegedly brought a gun to school. His only punishment was in-school suspension. Wow, that's just crazy. And apparently this person lives in that area. He says that this, our students are scared. And this is very egregious, and they're asking that people call that school or fax that school to treat this with the seriousness that it deserves. And the person doesn't say in the chat, but I'm willing to bet you a dime to a dollar that this is a white student. Because if this was a black student, well, you know, they probably would have got body slammed like that black girl got body slammed by that school resource officer for not wanting to leave the classroom. So this student gets ISS in school suspension and actually brought a gun to school. Man, that's I don't know how you explain that. What was the decision? What excuses are they making? Is this a special needs student or something? And he has mental deficiencies and he just says crazy stuff. But to actually bring a gun to school and then only give that student ISS? So that means he'll be back in school, right? Man, I couldn't be a parent at that school. I tell you what, that's crazy. They are not taking those students' safety very serious, in my opinion. So thank you for sharing that story. Again, you can share stories with us by giving us a call at 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself. You'll get those instructions when you dial in, or you can share them in the Uber conference line. That's uberconference.com/blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yes, I just got confirmation. It is a white student. That's crazy. That's really crazy, especially when it is, I've never, and I could be wrong because I'm not all seeing and all knowing, but I've never heard of non-white students going into the school to shoot it up. It's always these white students. Man, is it something genetic going on here? Why, or is it culture? Their culture? What is it about these students that they feel the need to go shoot up schools? What's up with that? That's a cultural thing, I think. Now, let's go to this international story. Again, the main stories I want to focus on, and we'll get to those in a second hour, is the DEA chief resigning after criticizing Donald Trump's remarks on encouraging police brutality. Very disgusting, man. This man, I tell you, man. But the other story about the STDs, I don't know. Y'all can give me your best guess. Why do you think that STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, have hit a record high in the United States, especially after all of that safe sex education after the HIV/AIDS epidemic that was out there? And I can't explain it. I can't explain it itself for just careless people. And again, the data is being driven. The cases are being driven by homosexual and bisexual men. All right. So let's jump to this crazy story out of Russia. You got these cannibal murders. A couple has been detained for allegedly killing 30 people. The woman who is other part of the couple, this is a married couple, she admitted to killing people. They were showing her photographs of missing people, and she identified them as people that they ate. And then not only were they eating these people, they were making meat pies and trying to sell them to restaurants, and even gave some to some of the cadets on this military installation. These people are sick, demonic. Let's take a listen to this RT report.
A chilling story from southern Russia now, because police have detained what is alleged to be a cannibal couple suspected of killing and eating up to 30 people. Roman Kosarev is in the city of Krasnodar. His report does include graphic descriptions of what's alleged to have happened.
We're standing outside a detention facility in Krasnodar, a city in southern Russia that was recently shook by absolutely horrifying events. A local couple has been taken into custody for murdering and dismembering a woman. Moreover, now they're suspected of cannibalism as well. RT's source within the local police said that the pair confessed to killing. Police uncovered chilly details thanks to road workers who discovered a telephone allegedly belonging to the suspect on this very street. After they opened up the phone, they discovered absolutely petrifying images of a man posing with the bloody dismembered body parts. Of course, they alerted the police right away and they began an investigation. Now, the images from that phone already began circulating online, and the media are now speculating about the real number of their victims. After seeing the horrific telephone footage, the police detained both suspects. And here's RT's exclusive footage when the authorities searched the home of the accused couple and made even more shocking discoveries. Well, they found more remains of their recent victim with her body parts stashed in the basement of the building. Also, other body parts that were placed in a container with some kind of a salt solution, and also unspecified food and frozen meat fragments in the kitchen. Experts will now try to determine whether those are human or not. The locals are certainly in shock and are wary of the media, but we managed to find one person, a shopkeeper that lives in this area and knew the couple pretty well, as they were her constant clients, as they live right here. Let's have a listen. The investigation is ongoing, but there is a suspicion that the couple have allegedly been killing and eating their victims over the last 20 years. So perhaps we could see some more developments, more horrifying details in this story as the investigation progresses. Roman Kosarev, RT, Krasnodar, Southern Russia.
A chilling story.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Over 20 years, they're suspected of killing people and eating them. Again, they didn't share some of the other news reports I read about. They were going to restaurants and trying to sell them meat. I mean, it's crazy. And was serving up meat pies, possibly with these human remains, to these academy soldiers that were at the academy, that these people were living there rent free for some reason. I think the guy worked there, or the woman worked there as a nurse. And so this is very, 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 very troubling. And how they got their victims was through dating sites. And again, it's very, you had to be very careful when you're dealing with people online. And it's best to meet people in a public place. And I just can't call it. I can't call it, because you go meet somebody at a public place, you can meet them several times, and you just never know. You never know. This might be a Jeffrey Dahmer or something. You just never know. It's always best to be safe. These dating sites, a lot of people get set up on those dating sites for robbery, for murder. It's just crazy, man. You have to really be careful. All right, next story. Oh, this is a big story that has been circulating in the United States. Fearing defeat, the Republicans who have been trying to overturn the Affordable Care Act for ever since Donald Trump came into office. In fact, that was one of the main themes on the campaign trail, or talking points for him on the campaign trail. And this bill has been put on hold because they don't have the votes to pass it. So let's give a listen to this report from VOA News.
Disappointed Republican senators decided not to go ahead with a vote this week after it became clear that their latest alternative to Obamacare was headed for defeat. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell spoke to reporters at the Capitol.
We haven't given up on changing the American health care system. We are not going to be able to do that this week, but it still lies ahead of us, and we haven't given up on that.
The decision came after a handful of Republicans, including Susan Collins of Maine, John McCain of Arizona, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, indicated they would vote against the bill. The Republican plan also faced more protests Tuesday, a day after demonstrators took to the halls of Congress and interrupted a Senate hearing. Senate Democrats took a victory lap, including Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
The Cassidy-Graham bill would have been a health care disaster. The American people saw it, rose to the occasion, and our colleagues had no choice in the face of opposition from one end of the land to the other to withdraw their bill.
President Trump expressed his frustration with the outcome at the White House.
At some point, there will be a repeal and replace, but we'll see whether or not that point is now or will it be shortly thereafter. But we are disappointed in certain so-called Republicans.
Republicans also failed to repeal and replace Obamacare in late July, when Senator McCain cast the deciding vote with a resounding thumbs down. This latest failure on health care is a political setback for the president, says analyst John Hudak.
The president says a lot about his management ability and a lot about his negotiation ability, and he really hasn't shown that he's successful in either since he became president.
The health care defeat could also damage Republican hopes to increase their congressional majorities in next year's midterm elections, says Bill Galston.
I think the real worry is for congressional Republicans who are in danger of going to their constituents with nothing to show for full unified control of the federal government.
But one of the sponsors of the Republican effort, Senator Lindsey Graham, said he and his colleagues would try again in the months ahead.
To my Republican friends throughout the country, there's plenty of fight left in us, like there's fight left in you.
The president and his Republican allies in Congress will now focus on tax reform, another key campaign promise from last year's election.
All right, that was from VOA News. Again, this is the second time they've tried to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. I think the sticking point in this particular bill was that it did not provide coverage for people with pre-existing conditions, which is a key component and very popular with those who support the Affordable Care Act. And I think it is, though, like was mentioned there, very telling that here you got control of the White House, you got control of the Senate, you got a majority in Congress, and you really can't get anything done except for passing bipartisan bills that grow the military budget while ignoring other areas like infrastructure, like education. Again, Medicaid for all was never expanded, and that's actually a bill that has been introduced by Senator Sanders, but I haven't heard anything else about that particular bill, Medicaid for all, which I would support. Now, I don't have a dog in this fight other than I'm an empathetic person because I'm a veteran and I got VA healthcare. And actually, Charlotte is pretty lucky in that it has one of the newer healthcare facilities. It's only been there for maybe 4-5 years, but it is a top-notch facility. I've gotten excellent treatment there, so I really don't have a dog in this fight because I have VA healthcare. But I am concerned about other people not having healthcare. And, you know, it is really, even the Affordable Care Act was basically a giveaway to insurance companies and what have you. But the main thing I disagree with the Affordable Care Act is the mandate that makes it against the law if you don't have health insurance. I mean, that's just crazy. That's crazy. How can you do that when you have millions of people who are unemployed or called the working poor, and these states can decide whether or not they want to expand Medicaid, and many of the red states have not expanded it. So that mandate is not a good thing. I don't like being told I have to do something, and I'm sure a whole lot of other people don't like it either, although, you know, there are certain things that we do, like having a driver's license or having car insurance, if you're going to have a car, homeowner's insurance. I mean, those are good things to have, but sometimes they're mandated. They're mandated by the people you're going to get, like in the home loan from, because you don't own it. You're in debt. You're making payments, so they want to protect their investments, so you got to have insurance in cases like that. All right, next story. Let me check the board, see if we got any more stories. There was a question asked in the chat room related to the story about the high school student threatening to kill, shoot up the school, and then later actually bringing a gun to school and only being given in-school suspension. The name of that school is Stephen County High. It's Stephen County High. It's located at 323 Indian Trail. I think that's Toccoa, Georgia, 30577 is the zip code. If you would like to call, you can call them at 706-886-6825. Again, that is 706-886-6825. And the fax is 706-886-8765 if you want to send a fax about this incident. I mean, that's just egregious right there. That's a dereliction of duty on behalf of those tasked with the safety of those children. All right, the next story. Before we get to the next story, it is about time for another music break. You are listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. every Monday through Friday, if nothing happens, from noon to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Planet Patrol. Play at your own risk. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Again, this is Wednesday, September the 27th. We have a full lineup of live programs for you today. Make sure you check out Tanya Free and Friends coming up at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Then later at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, it'll be Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis on the Tando Radio Show. And after that, at 8 o'clock p.m., check out New Abolitionist Radio. And rounding out the night will be Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio. Which reminds me, I put a video out last night as I was reading some of the comments that had been submitted to our network through our platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we have been covering the case of Dwanye Higginson. A number of shows on the network, at least three that I know of, have been covering the case of Dwanye Higginson, a former Navy seaman, only was 20 years old at the time, met a person who he did not know was a transsexual, who still had a penis, did not know that that's who he was dealing with over a dating app, and tried to meet the person. The person kept putting it off, and finally they met, came and picked them up off base, and they went straight to the hotel and engaged in, I don't know how he pulled it off, but engaged in some kind of anal sex. And then, according to Dwanye Higginson, he said D. Wickham, the transsexual person, told him, they ain't even took showers yet, told him, oh, by the way, I was born a man. And Mr. Higginson, understandably, went into a state of temporary insanity, and he killed this person. Now, I don't like killing. I don't like taking human life unless it's absolutely necessary. Then I pull a bullet in you. But that case right there, I look at that as rape by deception. And so somebody heard Mind, Body, and Spirit when they had Kim Melanson on the other night. That was last Wednesday night. And they were accusing the ladies on that program of using dehumanizing language towards transsexuals, try to compare it to racism, said that they used to like this channel and that they were leaving. And they weren't going to listen anymore. And they'll check back in 3 months and see if they've been held accountable. As the manager of Black Talk Radio Network, as I stated last night in my video, for those that did not catch that video, they won't be held accountable. This is a free speech zone. I'll engineer that show. And that person is lying. They were not dehumanizing transsexuals. But this person obviously don't like the ideal of gender identification accountability, which means that before you have sex with a person, that you must disclose your born identity. Because we have people who don't want to deal with transsexuals, post-op or not. Okay, that's our choice. That's our right. And we want to deal with natural-born women. And there are elements in the transsexual community that stalk heterosexual males. They look at it as a sexual conquest. And therefore, to save lives and not lies, again, let's save lives and not lies, then this is something we need to have a serious discussion on it, on. And we will not be deterred. You know, you can try to get us banned on these other platforms, but guess what? We have our own platform, and I'm not banning anybody for those lies that you're telling. So, you know, if you find the programming on the station valuable, you'll tune in. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. And if you don't, well, guess what? We won't even know. So I don't know why you even make such an empty threat and to engage in such a lie. All right. So anyway, that was just on my mind. I wanted to put that out because we do plan to, on this network, to continue to push this story, to push this case, and to push gender identity accountability. And the goal is not to target transsexuals in a dehumanizing way or deny them their human rights, but we want to affirm our human rights as heterosexual men. All right? So that's the whole purpose, is to save lives. I don't like hearing these stories of transsexuals being murdered simply for being who they are. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, I don't agree with them stalking heterosexual males for sexual conquest. You know, nobody would find it unreasonable if a woman who was being raped, or a transsexual was being raped by somebody, and they killed that person. They were able to get a weapon and kill that person. Nobody would be blaming that woman. Nobody would really be seeking to prosecute that woman. Everybody be saying the rapists got what they deserved. That's what they would be saying, right? Why is this any different? This is rape. So the purpose is to save lives, not to save people in their lies. You don't have no right to intrude upon another person's self-determination. As Dave Attando radio show is fond of saying is what I was trying to say, is your rights end where another person's begins. So let's keep that into account. If we're going to talk about respecting human rights, let's respect everybody's rights. That's how I feel about it. All right. So the next story, as I mentioned, that Saudi Arabia is now permitting its second-class citizens to drive. And who am I talking about when I say second-class citizens? I'm talking about women. I'm talking about Saudi women. I was in Saudi Arabia for 6 months. I had opportunities to go to Riyadh, its capital, to observe. When I was in the military, I would never go to the places where military people hung out. I would go to the neighborhoods. I didn't do that in Saudi Arabia, but I did go downtown Riyadh, you know, with another person. Sometimes it was a woman, sometimes it was not. And I firsthand witnessed the abuse that these women suffer, the humiliating existence that they have in that country. And I'll never forget hearing about, while I was in country, these women staging a protest by driving. And now this was back in early 1990s. I think it was in 91. My memory is kind of fading on that time period on my life, which I do not look back on fondly. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes, or if any other country put pressure on them or threatened them and said, you know what, you need to let those women drive. But anyway, here's a report from Al Jazeera about this.
Activists like Dr. Madiha Al-Ajroush have been lobbying for decades for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to allow women to drive.
I'm ready. My daughter is ready. And also society is ready. How much longer can we live in an oppressive society that prevents us from our full rights?
By next summer, Dr. Madiha will be allowed to drive without risking arrest, fines, and punishment. The new policy will allow women to obtain a driver's license without having to ask permission of a husband, fathers, or a male guardian. The kingdom's representative to the United Nations talked about the policy during a meeting at the UN.
This is a historic day for Saudi society, for men and women, and we can now say at last.
Saudi Arabia is hoping the policy will help the economy and increase the role of women in the workforce.
As part of the economic reform agenda and the efforts to streamline the amount of money that the state spends on its citizens with diminished oil revenue, the idea of including more women into the labor force would definitely help. And so driving is one mechanism to increase women's economic participation.
Other activists reacted on social media. Manal Al-Sharif is a Saudi women's rights advocate who was arrested for posting a video of herself driving in 2011 to protest the law. In a tweet celebrating the decree, she used the hashtags Women to Drive and Daring to Drive. She also said the fight for equality in Saudi Arabia is far from over.
Yeah, I grew up in ultra-conservative society.
The United States also welcomed the move by the kingdom.
Well, then we're happy. We're happy. We're certainly happy to hear that. If Saudi women are now able to drive, certainly here in the United States, we would certainly welcome that.
All right, I'm going to stop it there again. Like somebody pointed out in the comments on this YouTube video, they were talking about, yeah, yay for Saudi women. But what about the genocide that the Saudi Arabians are committing against people in Yemen? So, I mean, Saudi Arabia is a serial human rights abuser, and it's never been a problem for the United States. It just never has been a problem for them. So, you know, yeah, they're going to applaud this move and what have you, but this has been going on for decades, and these women are still subjected to you know, violations of their human rights. Like, for example, if a woman is not a virgin when she gets married, before she gets married, her father and a cleric, a Muslim cleric, is going to check her to make sure that her virginity is intact. And if it's found that her virginity is not intact, they stone her to death. They bury her in the ground from the neck down, and then they stone those women to death. All right. I'd rather just have my head cut off, and they cut off plenty heads over there, as opposed to, you know, being bludgeoned to death with rocks and what have you. So they're a serial human rights abuser, and the United States wants to slap sanctions on Venezuela and, you know, have and continue the embargo on Cuba and all this and that. And it's nothing but hypocrisy. They don't care about human rights. They just care about what a country can do for the 1% who benefit from U.S. foreign policy. Because American citizens certainly don't benefit. So that's a story. Congratulations to the women of Saudi Arabia. Yeah, congratulations to you. And like was stated in the video, they still got a long way to go. All right, so next story that I want to move to. This story right here is another piece of evidence that we can throw in the pot to show that the United States seriously needs to put some system in place to where they can screen these jurors for racial bias and other biases. Okay? I feel like if a person has given money to any of these police unions or anything like that, if they have a family member that's a police officer, they shouldn't be allowed to serve on no jury involving police because they're biased. Okay? And definitely we shouldn't be allowing racists such as this person who was on the jury of this this murder case that occurred in 1990. And this article was first published by Reuters, and it is coming to you from usnews.com. The U.S. Supreme Court granted a stay of execution for a black man scheduled to die on Tuesday in Georgia after his lawyers argued that his conviction was tainted by a juror with racist views. Now, Keith Thorpe, who is 59, was due to be executed by lethal injection at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Georgia Diagnostic and Classification Center in Jackson for the murder of Jackie Freeman, the sister of his wife, I don't know how to pronounce this name, Magrius Thorpe, in 1990. The Supreme Court granted a stay of execution after Thorpe's lawyers filed a last-ditch motion to halt the execution due to what they argue was racial bias on the part of the juror. Obviously, Justice Clarence Thomas, you know how he voted. He voted to put the man to death despite the jury proceedings being tainted by racism. Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch, that's an Obama appointee, opposed the stay of execution. The attorney for Thorpe, Brian Comer, said, "We are extremely thankful that the court has seen fit to consider Mr. Thorpe's claim of juror racial bias in regular order." Now, the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles on Monday denied a request to stop the execution after lawyers for Thorpe said a white juror in the case possessed profoundly racist views and repeatedly used racial slurs during deliberations to describe Thorpe. This is what the juror said. "After studying the Bible, I have wondered if black people even have souls." Yes, this retarded racist said that. The juror told this to Thorpe's lawyer in an affidavit a few years after the trial, according to Thorpe's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court filed on Saturday. So what probably occurred here was that they got wind of it from one of the jurors, and therefore they then subpoenaed this guy and put him under oath, and he told the truth. Well, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, to be honest with you. It doesn't state. And so he told the truth under the threat of what do they call that? Perjury. So it goes on to note that two of the 12 members of the jury that convicted him in 19 Thorpe to death. Now, look, this dude confronted him. He shot this woman to death. In my mind, based on the evidence, there's no question as to his guilt. That's not the issue that I have. The issue that I have is with the system in permitting blatant racism to occur. And I would like to ask these two black jurors why you didn't say something during deliberations. Why didn't you report to the judge that you had a blatant racist white supremacist back there using racial slurs and talking about black people don't got souls? See, some of this stuff is on us. We have to accept a responsibility when we witness such blatant acts of racism and terrorism, and we don't do nothing. We just keep our heads down. We keep our mouths shut because we don't want to be labeled troublemakers. We don't want to buck up against the system. We just want to be seen as good Negroes, good Americans, and what have you. So I really got an issue with these two, especially these two black jurors who didn't do what they should have done at time of deliberations, and that was get this guy kicked out and replaced. Again, I don't agree with capital punishment. It's just too many mistakes. But in this case, it seems like this guy is definitely guilty, but I still don't agree with capital murder. The state sponsored murder because they killed too many innocent people. This system is flawed. And you got a bunch of racists who are allowed to serve on these juries with no effort to screen them out whatsoever. And there are tests that they can give. Matter of fact, I just saw another report today. I didn't put it in my news stories, but it reminded me of another scientific study that occurred a few years back where they have tests that they can give to people to determine whether or not they are racist. They're called empathy tests. One particular test at a college where they show images of various people engaging in various activities, and they measured these people's brain activity of the empathy center of the brain to see how it registered. And it showed that white people don't pretty much, not all of them, but the majority of them that was in that study show no empathy for non-white people. None. This is programmed behavior, actually. This is learned behavior. This is taught behavior. I don't believe that anybody's born racist. It's something that you learn. So they have those tests. Then I saw another article last night where another study has come out, and this was kind of trippy. Now, this one wasn't based on like using machinery to measure the brain waves and empathy center of the subjects of the study. This was basically a questionnaire. And the short of it is, I took several things from it. One of the things that stood out to me, it seems that the more educated a person is, the less empathy they have for poor people, the less empathy they have for non-white people. And it did show that, I think it was close to 70% of the respondents to this particular study were white. And they won't even acknowledge, and this was based on their education level. And those with college degrees and higher degrees seem to show, but according to the study, did show a lack of empathy for not only poor people, but non-white people. And the same was true, although majority of the black people that were tested did have empathy, did recognize racism and its role in limiting economic opportunities and what have you. But 30% of these black educated folks had no empathy for poor people. And that sounds about right to me. Again, not saying everybody's like that, but it does. I have witnessed that certain black people, once they get a certain level of education, once they have integrated into white corporate America, that they start taking on the characteristics of those white people that have no empathy and look down on the poor and what have you. Now, the less educated white people in this study, those with high school degrees or not, did acknowledge that there was a poverty issue in America, but they did not peg it to race. Okay, so that was a very interesting study. But now, when we're talking about matters of slavery, again, slavery was never abolished. I don't think anybody should be punished with slavery, no matter what crime they are convicted of. I don't think that promotes justice. All right, but it does not bode well for just outcomes when you blatantly allow racists to serve on these juries, or people with any kind of bias that can't be objective. So again, I think this guy is guilty based off the evidence, but that does not excuse the racism that occurred in the proceedings. And I think he should get a new trial, and I think he should be convicted again, but with a jury that's practicing justice, that's going to weigh the evidence and is not going to sit back there in the jury room making race. I mean, dude, you couldn't be in the same room with me making those kind of comments. Again, who were these black people that was in the room with this racist terrorist? I'm here to tell you, there would have been a ruckus going home back there in that jury room, and the judge certainly would have found out why. We had to quit being cowards, man. We had to quit being cowards. But I still stand by my comments that ending racism should be primarily the concern of white people, because it's your community. It's your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunts, your mothers, your fathers, your grandparents, your children. And you know these people are racist. You know your neighbors are racist. You know your co-workers are racist. But you turn a blind eye to it, making you an accomplice. So don't tell me you're not a racist, but you turn a blind eye to racism. Because in my book, you accomplice. You are an accomplice to that racism. So again, we had to stop being cowards. And we had to stand up for justice. All right, next story. Let's see. Let me get back to my news thread, which is on btrcommunity.com. That's where you'll find all these stories linked up that I am sharing with you over the course of this broadcast. The next story that I want to get to is, man, this could not have been my son. This could not have been my daughter. This could not have been my grandsons, where you had this grown man in Florida. This happened earlier this a few days ago. Excuse me, not a few days ago. It happened about a week ago. And you have a mother who is upset that the man who knocked her child's front teeth out, a 12-year-old child, knocked his front teeth out, busted his lip up, was not arrested. Man, I'll be far past being upset. I'll be cool, calm, and I'll be plotting and planning how I'm going to get justice. Since it appears that the authorities think it's perfectly okay for a grown 27-year-old man to start an argument with children who are playing in the road, and this guy talking about they were blocking the road. Look, dude, when I was living in Detroit in a city, in a highly dense neighborhood, meaning a whole bunch of houses. I mean, the houses is like only like maybe 4 or 5 feet apart between each other, and a bunch of cars lined. We used to play in the street playing tag football all day long. Car come, we get out the way. So don't give me this crap about they was blocking traffic. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me share some of this story with you. Let's see if we can get this video to play. It may play.
Getting our hands on some video that shows what happened after a bizarre confrontation in Port Charlotte.
A 12-year-old got punched so hard it knocked some of his teeth out. 4 in the Corner's Deborah Suverain finding out the man who threw the punch says he did it in self-defense after that kid and his friends threatened him coming onto his property. Deb?
Amy and Patrick, the child says he never actually stepped foot on the man's property, but he does admit to walking over to him after he heard the man yelling. We also spoke to the man who punched the child in the face. He says the children were blocking traffic and he simply wanted them to go home. 12-year-old Malachi and his friends say they were on their way home from school when a man began yelling at them.
He was screaming at us, cursing at us, calling us the N-word. And then he came down into the middle of his yard, and I was like, who are you talking to? Then he came down to the sidewalk and said, come in arm's length, and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
This is what he says his face looked like after the incident.
When I realized my teeth were dangling in my mouth, it was kind of shocking. I didn't know what was going on.
It was like a nightmare. I just knew I had to get there, and I had to get there fast.
The boy's parents are upset because the man who did this to Malachi was not arrested.
Where is it okay for an adult to take the law into his own hands and to strike a kid hard enough to knock out his teeth? Where is that acceptable? In what country is that acceptable?
According to this incident report, the man who punched Malachi was 27-year-old Vincent Servallo.
Originally, this is where the altercation took place, right here.
He spoke to 4 in Your Corner to tell his side of the story.
I told him that they all need to back off, and if they come on my property, I'm going to defend myself. And they were just like, you won't hit us, you won't hit us. And they started to surround me.
He says it all started when he yelled at the kids to get out of the road because they were blocking traffic. This cell phone video captures the moments after Malachi was punched. Vincent says he acted in self-defense.
He touched me, and I let my hand out, and I ended up hitting him. It was not my intention to hit anybody that hard. It was not my intention to knock teeth out. It was not my intention to do harm or just cause any kind of trouble.
Vincent says he never expected things to escalate to violence, and now he's pressing charges against 12-year-old Malachi for assault, something the teen and his parents can't understand.
He's not going to jail, and nothing's happening to him, and he's basically getting away with it right now.
I want the man in jail.
The state attorney's office will be reviewing this case, and Vincent tells us he's been receiving death threats ever since images of Malachi began making rounds on social media. Today, we saw a deputy escort him from his home for safety reasons. The children say they just want justice.
You know what? Good for him. I'm glad. I'm glad that he's terrified. I'm glad. There's no excuse. Again, as I suspected, this is looks like a rural area. This is a residential street. This isn't a main thoroughfare where you got cars, you know, running up and down the street, heavy traffic in a business district or something. He's trying to make it seem like they out there protesting, blocking traffic. Mind your own business. They were on a public street in their neighborhood, walking home from school. You had no right to say anything to these children, let alone provoke a confrontation with them. This man is lying. That child, the child touched me, and then I didn't mean to knock his teeth out. Bull crap. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Donald Trump got y'all all hyped up and thinking y'all can get away and do anything. Think y'all can get away with breaking the law. In a case like this, if they don't do anything, because the sheriff deputy talking about there is conflicting reports among witnesses, that's a lie. All these children are saying the same thing. All these children are saying the same thing. The man was using racial slurs at them, calling them niggas or niggers, you know how they say it, and punching them, and then also spit on those other children. No, he better have a sheriff's deputy guarding his house 24/7 if this had been my child. Now, I will wait for the state attorney. I would definitely wait for the state attorney and see what they do. But they let this man get away with punching a 12. Where is the child protection agency at? Are they investigating this? This is child abuse. Again, this is a 27-year-old grown man. These are children. A 12-year-old child. You going to go out there and start some mess with some 12-year-old children, telling them to get out the road? You ain't their parent. I'm telling you, this story got me heated. This could not have been my child. I remember stomping this white dude out when I was in high school for putting his hands on my little brother. Big white dude. My little brother was little. He was little at the time. Put his hands on my little brother riding the bus. He gonna grab my little brother by the neck and pull him out the seat because he wanted to sit in that seat. And immediately all the other kids on the bus said, "You done effed up." I didn't even get suspended, in fact, because the bus driver told the principal what he did to my brother. I stumped that boy so bad, he had groove marks up and down his face. You know, the grooves that's in the floor of the bus, yeah. They were embedded on, the outline was on his face when I got through with him. This dude was the same size as me. I tell you what, man, this could not have been my child. And he should be in fear for his life after doing that to a child. And then the investigating deputy is trying to get the 12-year-old arrested. That's what's tripping me out. What country does this happen in? The USA. That's where it happens at. Where you got law enforcement trying to protect a racist from being prosecuted who assaulted a 12-year-old child. He caused serious bodily injury to this child. This child is disfigured. He knocked out both his front teeth. And they want to play this game? Oh, hell no. Again, this could not be my child. Just couldn't. And I'm not saying that out of emotion. But when it comes to family, I don't play. No, I don't. So that's just a terrible story coming out of Florida. I hope that family gets justice. And it may be that the neighborhood gonna have to get justice for themselves. He wouldn't be able to live in peace. He certainly would not. Crazy. I mean, I tell you, Donald Trump got these people going crazy out here attacking children. But this is nothing new. Racists have always targeted children. When we think back to Emmett Till, when we think back to, I forget, George Stinney in South Carolina, the child that they executed. Tell you, man, these people done lost their mind. I don't understand the thought process of this investigating sheriff deputy, unless he's a racist suspect too. This could not be my child, people. Next story. Not really going to get into this article about politics and sports is as American as racism. Again, as I reported the earlier, this is a big story here in North Carolina in the Charlotte region with the Carolina Panthers. Players were apparently felt threatened that if they participated in a peaceful protest by simply taking a knee for a couple of minutes, that they might lose their jobs. They might be fired. And the whole hypocrisy of this, you talking about that flag represents the country and freedom and liberty and justice and all this and that, but yet you don't want these men to have to exercise their rights. But you got the right, you feel, to call their mothers SOBs, to call them thugs, ungrateful Negroes, things like that. And talk about the owner of the Carolina Panthers talking about he don't want to politicize the game. The game was politicized when y'all militarized the game. When y'all took money from the Pentagon to put on these displays of nationalistic ritualism. So you politicized it then. And then they're going to use soldiers or veterans as props. Not this veteran. You couldn't use me in that manner. Give them free tickets to the game. Give them a special box to sit in. And then make an announcement. Oh, we honoring the truth. You just using them as props. And just using this false equivalency, that flag don't represent no U.S. military. It don't represent no veterans. It don't represent nothing but injustice right now. That's what it represents. Injustice, imperialism, colonialism, and slavery. But politics and sports have always, politics has always been in sports. Going back to the days when they would prevent black men from playing in these professional leagues. That's political. So I'm not trying to hear this nonsense about not making sports political. It's already political. So anyway, I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some more music, and then I'm going to jump into these two main stories about the DEA chief resigning after criticizing Trump, who was encouraging law enforcement officers to engage in brutality. Still, the DEA is corrupt. It should be abolished. But I have some, I don't even want to say I respect this man, but I think it was the right thing for him to do. Maybe he is one of those people that believe in justice and law enforcement shouldn't be abusing and killing people and what have you. But, the DEA is a major cog in the system of slavery in this country. Just read an article. I think we'll be talking about it. I'll share it tonight on New Abolitionist Radio, which I also help co-host on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. But statistics have come out showing that nonviolent marijuana or cannabis possession was led the way in arrests last year. Nonviolent crimes, Donald Trump and them trying to say we in the crime wave and all this violent crime and all. No, the crime rate has been driven by the made up crime of possessing cannabis. So you can put people into slavery so that you can protect the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. So definitely want to take a look at that story. And I'm still trying to figure out, other than people not taking responsibility in practicing safe sex, but we have the CDC saying that STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, have hit a record high in the United States. That's just crazy, man. All this sex education has been going on since the AIDS epidemic, and you still got people out here, primarily homosexuals and bisexual men. I don't know the difference, but who are driving the STD race up. Disgusting. Very disgusting. So definitely want to share some of the details of that with you. All right, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting Monday through Friday from 12 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, or a little bit before 2 o'clock p.m. Coming up again at 2 o'clock p.m. will be Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. All right, we will be back on the other side of this station identification break and some more music. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News as we get ready to tackle these last two stories. Again, if you have any questions or comments, you can share them with us in uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. You can also give us a call at 866-510-9025. Hit star to put yourself in the caller's queue. So in this last 20 minutes, I want to jump on the first story I want to go to is this story about STDs are on the rise. In fact, they have hit record highs, and I just don't see any kind of logical explanation for this. So I'm going to actually try to get to the actual CDC report. CNN did a report on it, which I linked to, but they do link to what the CDC said. But let me share a little bit from this CNN article. It says, in 2016, Americans were infected with more than 2 million. Let me say that again. With more than 2 million new cases of gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia, the highest number of these sexually transmitted diseases ever reported, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday. Clearly, we need to reverse this disturbing trend, said Dr. Gail Bolin, director of the CDC's Division of STD Prevention. The CDC cannot do this alone, and we need every community in America to be aware that this risk is out there and to help educate their citizens on how to avoid it. The agency's annual sexually transmitted disease surveillance report shows that more than 1.6 million of the new cases were from chlamydia, 470,000 were from gonorrhea, and nearly 28,000 cases were of primary and secondary syphilis. Secondary syphilis is the most contagious form of the disease, according to the CDC. While all of these can be cured by antibiotics, many people go undiagnosed and untreated. Perhaps that's because of a lack of true health care for all in this country. But still, though, there are preventive measures that you can take, like slapping on a jimmy. A rubber, for those that don't know what a jimmy is. I mean, again, you can go to the public clinic and get a bag full of jimmies. Free. You don't even got to pay for them. So why do we have the highest cases on record of these transmitted diseases? It has to go down to personal responsibility and lack of accountability. People just think, I guess, you know, that there's no dangers to having unprotected sex. Let me find the particular story that I was looking for from the CDC. Protect yourselves, okay? No, that's not it. I'm looking for, if I can find it right quick, I had seen where they were saying, it has a link, I can't find it right now. This is a very long article. But there is a link to the CDC report where it's also giving you, I guess you would call it media, to help you promote safe sex in the community. Like, you know, images and graphics and stuff like that. And I definitely plan to download some of them and send them out through our social networks, because this is crazy, man. This is crazy. After, you know, all of these babies being born with HIV and what have you, that whole epidemic, which is still, you know, people still have it, but now we got syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia have reached record highs. I just don't think there's any kind of excuse for that. Now, when I was looking at it, looking at that report, let me see if I actually put that report somewhere else. I'm going to have to find it. It's in that CNN article. But it said the primary driving factor for these record cases was homosexuals and bisexuals. Again, men, homosexual and bisexual men. Not that I can tell the difference. I mean, just because you have sex with women, if you're having sex with men, I still classify you as a homosexual. But these are the demographic that is driving the cases. And sadly, it's primarily, well, I shouldn't say primarily, but it seems the most cases were found in the black community. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. And it's a preventable one. A preventable one. And it doesn't, I don't understand, because I remember last year seeing a report where they were saying like teen pregnancies were at an all-time low. Now we got, so yeah, I do understand, because they said homosexual men are the driving factor in these new cases that have pushed STDs to a record high in this country. Now, in terms of chlamydia, most of that was teen girls had chlamydia. Now, I'm not sure, because I remember taking a class in the military. They gave us a class when we first went in the military on how to avoid sexually transmitted diseases. And I think there are other ways that you can get chlamydia. Women can develop chlamydia and not, you know, get it from somebody else, but they give it to men. And then, you know, it spreads from there. But again, the number one driving factor was homosexual men obviously having unprotected sex out here spreading this disease. Man, that's very irresponsible. But I do plan on sharing, once I find that link. There's several links in this and I don't have time to go through them all, but that's pitiful, man. That's pitiful. That's there's no excuse for that, especially when again, you can easily prevent these diseases by using condoms. All right. Now, the last story that I want to jump to, again, I don't like the DEA, especially with the scandals, but you had the interim chief, and he's the interim chief because of the scandals of the DEA, setting up deals with the Sinaloa drug cartel, allowing them to smuggle drugs across the border, and I guess Chicago was their distribution point. And see, when these people be talking about the rate of violence in Chicago being so high, they are not taking in consideration that you got a lot of Mexican drug gangs that's operating in Chicago, and that the DEA gave them a free pass to smuggle drugs into the United States and distribute them from Chicago to other points unknown. All of that, most of that violence is related to drug war turfs. I mean, drug turf wars. Anyway, the DEA chief Chuck Rosenberg resigned after criticizing Donald Trump's remarks on police conduct. This comes to you from NBCNews.com. The acting head of the Drug Enforcement Administration is resigning. He said in an email Tuesday, a few weeks after he complained that President Donald Trump appeared to have condoned police misconduct. No, not appeared. He did. I hate it when people try to be politically correct. He didn't appear to condone police misconduct. He did condone. He even encouraged it. In an email to DEA staffers Chuck Rosenberg, who became acting administrator in 2015 again because Michelle Lionheart, who was a holdover from the Bush administration and worked for President Obama, they had a number of scandals. I already told you about them making a deal with the Sinaloa drug cartel to allow them to smuggle drugs to Chicago and distribute it to all points unknown. But you also had DEA agents who got busted for engaging in a sex party with prostitute sex workers in Colombia that were paid for by guess who? Drug cartels. Again, that war on drugs isn't a real war. It's a war on people. It is the primary tool that they use to throw people in the 21st century slavery and human trafficking over nonviolent so-called drug crimes. Again, but I ain't hearing no calls to arrest these doctors who are being blamed, and the pharmaceutical companies, from an article I remember this week. The doctors are being blamed for the opioid crisis that's in effect. Why they ain't being arrested then? So the war on drugs is phony. It's all about throwing people into prison. It's about job security for slave catchers, plantation overseers, and what have you. Because if you ask me, you know, they've done nothing to limit access to drugs in this country. Then you got U.S. military troops over there in Afghanistan guarding the poppy fields. Because they say that's the only income that farmers have. Well, that might be the only income selling cannabis that some unemployed people, poor people have to supplement their incomes. But they're not being given the same deference as farmers in Afghanistan. Again, whose crops are being protected by U.S. troops. A spokesperson for the DEA confirmed Rosenberg's resignation, but wouldn't comment on a report in the New York Times, which quoted law enforcement officials as saying Rosenberg had become convinced that Donald Trump had little respect for the law. Well, welcome to the club. That's evident. Again, it's against the law for him to tell NFL players, a private entity, to fire players who take a knee during the national anthem. That's against the law. So he's a habitual lawbreaker. The law don't matter to this man. And he told police in a speech, I think it was to a police union in New York. Matter of fact, I'm sure it was. He told them, oh, don't worry about protecting these guys' heads from hitting up against the roof and what have you. Let me see. This is what Donald Trump said. When you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, he got the nerve to call somebody a thug, but you just see them thrown in rough, Trump said. I said, please don't be too nice. And, you know, you had a number of police chiefs come out and condemn Donald Trump for saying that. Saying that you're encouraging them to break the laws, to break our rules on how you treat suspects. This is encouraging police brutality, and he got the nerve to sit up there and talk trash and call the mothers of NFL players taking the knee to highlight police brutality, to call them SOBs. Anybody needs to be removed is Donald Trump. A habitual lawbreaker, has no respect for the law. Here you have a member of law enforcement at the DEA who has come to the same conclusion. says Rosenberg sent the memo a day after Trump appeared. And these are these people, I guess these are the writers, trying to be politically correct. He didn't appear to encourage law enforcement officers. He did encourage law enforcement officers. Just tell the truth, or are y'all incapable of telling the damn truth? Rosenberg said in a memo, "We have an obligation to speak out when something is wrong." He listed core values that he said were fundamental to the agency: rule of law, respect and compassion, service, devotion, integrity, and accountability. Well, you know, I haven't heard of any more scandals since Michelle Lionheart got kicked out that position, forced to resign. I guess this guy came in. I haven't heard of any more scandals like them making deals with drug cartels, allowing them to smuggle drugs as long as they got information on those drug cartels' rivals, so that the DEA can go bust their rivals and say, "Hey, look, we're fighting the war on drugs. We're keeping drugs off the street." And no, it's all a charade. This is why I voted for Ron Paul in a Republican primary in 2008, was because he said he would immediately abolish the DEA, which he would have had the power to be as the chief executive officer of USA Inc. He said the drug war was racist, and it was just meant to fill up the prisons with black people. Ron Paul said this. I'm paraphrasing, but he said this. But going back to the clip I played of Malcolm X talking about black people being politically immature, what did black people in media immediately do? They tried to brand Ron Paul as a racist. As if Bill Clinton wasn't a racist. As if Hillary Clinton isn't a racist. They did more to put more people into prison slavery than any administration preceding them. Again, we're still early in the Trump administration, but I expect him to surpass those numbers. But that's why we had to quit engaging in identity politics. Just cause somebody look like you don't mean they for you. And who did Barack Obama put first? And then who did he put last when he issued that order that the executive of the Justice Department was no longer going to contract with private prisons? He is going to wait 2 months knowing that they will have time to recover after he was gone. We had to be policy based, not personality based. But I'll give this man a small applause for saying something that promotes justice, but at the same time, his job promotes injustice in 21st century slavery and human trafficking. All right, so I agree with his assessment. Donald Trump has no respect for law, but he want to talk about lawbreakers. I'll be back on air later tonight, as I am one of the co-hosts and producers of the award-winning New Abolitionist Radio broadcast, where we discuss the issues of 21st century slavery and human trafficking in depth. I hope that you will tune in and keep it locked on the station at today, Wednesday, most busy day. We got Tanya Free and Friends coming up in just about 5 minutes. Before I close out, to our donors and our members of BTR community, which I do consider you donors because you're helping Black Talk Media Project sustain its media operations. The August report, I'm very sorry it was late. Again, I explained on Tando Radio Show yesterday why, just been very behind. Those trips were out of the norm for me. Like I told Max, when I went to Washington, D.C., that's the first time I've been outside of North Carolina in probably 20 or 30 years. Probably since I got out the military. I don't remember. Yeah, I did go to Detroit one time. Yes, I did. But, you know, I just don't travel like that because my job, which is running the Black Talk Media Project and the Black Talk Radio Network, keeps me pretty much stuck in the studio. All right. Because I just don't have the equipment that would allow me to continue my operations while I'm out on the road. But hopefully that'll change. So that report will be coming out shortly, within an hour or two, as I finally got our email list of our donors and subscribers of BTR Community updated. We're also using a new software to put out our newsletters, and we're actually going to start doing a weekly newsletter that'll come out on Sundays, and it'll be more about that in this particular newsletter, which will be linked to our statistical reports for our podcast distribution, as well as this radio station, Black Talk Radio's reach. All right, so expect that in the next couple of hours. If you're not a member of BTR Community and you're looking for a safe social media space, definitely join us at btrcommunity.com. It is a subscriber base, $24 a year. That breaks down to $2 a month. If you're consuming Black Talk Radio, if you're consuming any of the media put out by our media partners on our website, then you should support us. You should support us because we do not have the support of corporate America, nor do we want the support of corporate America. So the only way we can sustain our operations is by those who consume the media making donations. Any amount will help and be put to good use. So expect that report in a couple of hours. And recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where the 13th Amendment legalized slavery and human trafficking, and it's at an all-time high. And it's not going to end itself. And we need soldiers. We need boots on the grounds. We need people of diverse talents with resources to join the new abolitionist movement so we can end slavery in this country once and for all and stop treating the symptoms like police violence, which is connected to their mandate to catch slaves. With that said, peace and blessings to all.